You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Amen. Amen. If you would, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 8. And Miss Mary is talking about this year being our year of double jubilee. And the Lord declared that through Pastor at the beginning of the year. And I think we may have some of these still out there. I had this at my desk. And so all year long, we've been reminding you at different times of what the Lord said to us in January, or actually it was December 31st going into the new year, regarding double jubilee. And so not just things for, you know, just to have something to declare, but it's things that he wants us to walk in. He wants us to possess. He wants us to be in position for and also to cooperate with. We have to come in agreement with what God says in order to walk out what he has for us. Amen. So when he says it's double jubilee, we agree with him with double jubilee. And we're going to talk about what double jubilee, or at least what jubilee is, here in just a moment. And so it occurred to me just a few days, weeks ago, that, you know, here we are at the end of the year, so to speak, and, you know, and that everybody might not necessarily be experiencing double jubilee in their life. And I know that some of us have, and we've been getting testimonies of it, but it might be, you know, that there are some here at the end of the year that may not have, you know, possessed everything yet. And so we've still got a few more weeks, and you still have an opportunity to do that. And how many of you know, just because December 31st come doesn't mean that God's blessings end. Amen. So we can roll this right on over into 2019. And so there's still things that we can get. And just because the calendar rolls over doesn't mean it's the end. It's always jubilee. Jesus declared that in Luke chapter 4. So it's always jubilee. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's just an emphasis that the Lord put on for this particular year. So in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says there, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." God's mercy met our unrighteousness, our shortcomings, our failures, our things that we didn't do right, our weaknesses. God's mercy met our unrighteousness. And he said, "I will be merciful." Aren't you glad about that? He made a decision. He willed that he will be merciful to our unrighteousness. So wherever we fell short, where, and that's what sin means, we missed the mark. And it doesn't even necessarily have to do with sin. It just could be that we're just not seeing the blessings of God flourishing in our life like we should. And so, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more." Don't you love that? That whatever is in our past, whatever we did, whatever our shortcomings are, he said he will not remember them anymore. His mercy was extended to us by him sending his son Jesus. You might think, well, and his blood, the blood that Jesus poured out for us, it was God's mercy operating on our behalf. You may think, well, it was Jesus that came and saved us. Yes, but it was his mercy that caused that to happen. It was God's mercy towards us and his love towards us that he even sent Jesus in the very first place. Amen. And so I'm so glad that he sent Jesus. And so we're going to go look at another scripture where your pages are stuck together in the back. We'll go to Lamentations. You know, at the beginning of the year, I don't know if you do this, you know, you start reading through the Bible, you know, and about February, March, somewhere in there, you get into Leviticus. Yep. And where your pages are stuck together. You know, you see things about, you know, because in Leviticus it talks about the cleanliness laws and all of that. And then, you know, in order to a cure for baldness, you need to do this. And, you know, if you got a mole with a hair in it, you need to do that. You know, all these different things in there. And you go, why is this necessary for me to read? But, you know, God put it in there and it's necessary for us to know about those things. But in Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 19. He says, "Remember my affliction and roaming." In the King James, I think it says misery. the wormwood and the gall. Now, that word there, wormwood, or that phrase there, wormwood and gall, it means bitterness of spirit. And it also can mean, a definition of it is, something sore that rubs raw. Remember my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. So what he is saying here, that he is remembering things that, you know, maybe, again, shortcomings or disappointments in life, things that kind of rub you raw, maybe even things that the devil is reminding you that was of your past, or things that are under the blood that he just keeps bringing up in your remembrance again. So remember my affliction and roaming or misery, the wormwood and the gall. You know, things that dog you, things that track you, so to speak, that kind of rub you raw, that make you feel low and disappointed, and I've not done right by the Lord, or I've not done right in some things, or I should have done this and I should have done that, and all those things just keep replaying in your mind. Anybody out there? And so he is saying here, and we're going to go into verse 20, he says, when you remember that, those things that are shortcomings, those things are that are disappointments, and those things, afflictions that the enemy tries to bring in your mind, he says, my soul still remembers and sinks. And the King James says humbled, I believe. And it's and that word humble there is not as you're reverently humbling yourself. That word there means sink. It means that you come under something. That when you remember it, it causes you to go, oh man, I didn't do right in that. I should have done this, or I should have done that. So it causes you not to be bold to stand before the Lord. Hebrews tells us that we are to come boldly before the throne of God. It pushes you down, keeps you under, feels like something heavy under you. You walk around, woe is me. You know, I'm kind of dating myself, but y'all remember the dog Droopy? And his jaws hang down right here, you know. I'm so happy. But he needed to notify his face that he was happy, because he wasn't acting like he was happy. But, you know, things that just kind of push you down and keep you low and keep you base and that kind of thing. Things that bother us, that tries to cause us to set back or draw back. You know, maybe you made a decision about something and it was the wrong decision. Maybe you stepped out in a venture and it didn't quite make the mark. Maybe you went to speak to somebody and, you know, something you said caused them to react in a way that you didn't expect. All these kinds of things that kind of dog you. That when you're laying down in the night, in the bed at night, you start replaying these things in your mind. Ever been like that? I was home a few weeks ago, and had gotten some news about something the day before, and I don't even know if I slept all night that night. Just, you know, kind of rolling it around, and I was sitting there. I had a book that I was wanting to finish, and I sat there and was thinking I was reading the book, but probably about 30 minutes went by and I realized I didn't get anything out of that book that I read, that my mind went back to that thing and I'm just rehearsing it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it in my mind. And time can get away with us with that kind of thing. Before you know, you're sitting there 3 hours. You thought, what have I been doing? And then you imagine, and you know, this thing gets bigger and bigger, and the more you give it attention, the bigger it gets. You ever done that? You been in a conversation with somebody and it didn't go well, and all you're going, when I see them next time, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say this and da-da-da, and you've gone off and, you know, and imagine this whole thing, and, you know, well, when I see them, da-da-da-da-da, and the next time they see you, they go, hey, how you doing? And it's totally been diffused. It's totally over, and you spent all that time thinking about your response and how you were going to react and all that kind of thing, and it's no big deal. But some things in our lives are big deals that we keep giving attention to. And when we give attention to those things, and we're going to look at another scripture here in just a little bit, we give attention to those things. What we're not doing, or what we are doing, is forfeiting our fellowship with the Lord instead of spending time with Him. Our mind is going over and over that thing. So when we're rehearsing how we missed it, We're reminding ourselves, or the devil is reminding ourselves, how we fail, how we fell short of something. Verse 21 of Lamentations 3. And then again, he says here, this I recall to my mind, therefore I hope. Have we heard anything about hope this year? Hallelujah. When I'm thinking about how my shortcomings are, how I'm thinking about how I missed it, how I'm thinking out now I'm not the best, or I could have done better, or I shouldn't have spent that, or I should have done this, or I should have prayed that, or I should have read this, and all of this. When I come to those places, this I recall to my mind, there I have hope. Now I have hope. In verse 22, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. What do we have hope in? We have hope in his mercies. Hallelujah. We have hope in his mercies because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. When we're thinking about those things and those things are dogging us, remember this. It was through his mercies that we're not consumed. That his compassions cause us to fail not. That his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Great is his faithfulness. Every morning when we wake up, his mercy is there. Every morning when we wake up, his compassion is there. Every morning when we wake up, he's there ready to give us a new day. And it says here, the Lord is my portion. He's my part. He is my part. So my soul says, therefore I hope in him. Not in my past. Not where I came short. And we may be thinking, there may be folks in here thinking, man, here we are in November. This year sure did go by fast. I could have done better. I could have given more. I could have done this. I could have been in a better position. I'm in the same position that I was in January when we started this year. All of those things. I haven't accomplished much. But guess what? His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new. And as we're giving attention to that thing, we can't do anything about it anyway. It's already in the past. We can't go back and change it. We can't bring it into the presence of God. Whatever decision you made, the decision is that you made, whatever the repercussions of it is, but God's mercy can make up for that. She mentioned the word hasten tonight and it just stirred me up because in the beginning of the year, the Lord had me study on that word hasten. It says to cause things to happen faster than they normally would. And we can be here 6 weeks from the end of the year. God can hasten some things in our lives. He can make up the difference for where we fell short. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that? It makes me excited. He can do some things. I mean, he's just like that. I mean, who would have thought walls would have fell down because you shouted? It accelerated some things when they obeyed God. They could have been trying to scale the wall. They could have been with a pick trying to pick the wall. And, they could have been with a battering ram trying to get the wall. But he said, follow my instructions and shout. And I've been in Jericho where the walls fell down. And they said they went straight down. Not just crumbled, they just fell straight down from a shout. He accelerated things so they could get in there and possess what was belonging to them. Glory to God. Woo. So when we get tired of dealing with us, well, we fell short. There's some mercies that we can access. There's some mercies that we can possess to help us. And it says to remember that we have hope. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Get you out of Lamentations. Hallelujah. His mercies. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us. I'm reading out of the New King James. And one translation says, trips you up. So the things that's tripping us up, maybe even the pattern of thought, just rehearsing that thing in our mind, those things that trips us, he said, lay it aside. Put it to the side. Focus on him. And it even says in here, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we keep giving our attention to that thing, we're not looking at him. If we keep giving attention to what we did wrong and what we should have done or could have done, would have done, we're not giving our attention to him. And then when we give our attention to him and offer those things, he gives us instruction to get out of whatever situation we're in. So we're forfeiting our help when we're not looking to him. When we're looking at the thing that dogs us, when we're looking at the monkey on our back, when we're constantly rolling over in our mind our failures, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, we're forfeiting the help that we can get from him to get out of our situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lay aside every weight and sin that trips us up. It keeps causing us to fail. That causes us to be disappointed. What is our hope? Our hope is in his mercies that are new every morning. It's our remedy for what's wrong. It's our remedy for what's happening in our life. He doesn't run out of mercy. Aren't you glad? Amen. So everybody on the planet, however 6 point, whatever billion, 7 billion people on the planet, not everybody used up all of God's mercy today. There's going to be more mercy tomorrow morning. At 12:01, there's more mercies to be had for every person on the planet tomorrow. Glory to God. There's no exhausting his mercy. Hallelujah. There is more mercy to be had. Glory to God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. And so those things that are in our mind, I love this scripture. It says, how much more... Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, aren't you glad about the blood of Jesus, through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience of dead works to serve the living God. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus cleanses our sin, things that we did that were against God, but the blood of Jesus also can cleanse our mind, our consciousness of dead works. One translation says it purges us of the replay of the mind. Of the replay of the mind. What you did wrong. What you said to that person that caused them to be upset. What you said to your wife, what you did to your boss, or whatever trouble you got, I ran my checkbook down to zero or negative zero. The replay of the mind. It gets rid of the replay of the mind. So the blood of Jesus is a powerful thing. It washed away our sins. Hallelujah. How much more will it do cleanse us of dead works? How much more would it cleanse us of things that are our mind? How much more? God says that he throws our sins in the sea of forgiveness and he remembers it no more. He can do that for us as well. Hallelujah. Cleanse us from our dead works. Cleanse us for things that we did wrong. Hallelujah. So this morning, in my morning devotions, I had this in mind, and I was reading my daily reading, and so I just kind of sat there and paused for a minute and was thinking about this, you know, that his mercies are new every morning. And I thought, what does that mean? What does new mercies mean? It means a fresh start. The new day is a brand new day. There's new mercies today. And start thinking about, you know, a blank piece of paper. Today was my day. This is my day, this blank piece of paper. I'm sure in the natural there are probably things that could be written on here for today. But just for the sake of this illustration, I had a good day where I didn't think bad about anybody. I didn't cause any problems. This is my mercy. When I woke up this morning, I had a clean, fresh start with the Lord. Now, if you've been in Pastor Rhonda's class, you know, she talks about, she puts a dot on the piece of paper, and that's where people's concentration go, is to the dot. There's no dot there today. When God gives us new mercies in the morning, there's no dot there. There's a clean, fresh start today. So why do we bring things from yesterday back and put it on our page. We write things from yesterday back on our page. We allow somebody else to bring up what we did yesterday and put it on our page. And then we walk around under the weight of that thing all day long. And it causes us not to be bold before the Lord to ask things that we desire of Him. And it says that we are to come to the throne of grace boldly. Boldly. And sometimes, you know, because of our consciousness of sin, it causes us to draw back from Him. I knew the Lord was disappointed in me in something, and so I found myself, you know, I'm going to fast, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, I'm going to, you know, do all these things. And so I, you know, had set my day. I was going to get up early in the morning, get up at 4:30, and before 8 o'clock, I'm going to do all these things, and the Lord will be pleased with me. What was I trying to do?
Works.
And so I was sitting in the window and with him, and I had, you know, I've got to get my reading done, and I got to get this done. And finally he said, "Can you just be still?" And I went, "Oh. I'm trying to earn his favor. I'm trying to make him pleased with me." And what he said, "Just be still. Just be my kid. Just fellowship with me. Let's just talk." And then I did all right for a little while. You know, trying, and then I found myself, I went, "Oh, yes, sir. He just wants to be with us." And the reason why he makes mercy available to us is because he don't want anything to keep us out of his presence. He want to be with us. He wants to be with us. He loves us, and he likes us, too. He may not necessarily like everything that we do, but he likes being with us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Cleanses us of dead works. I remember hearing Brother Hagin talking about, he said, "How do you know you're worrying? Because you're thinking about it. You're thinking about, well, how can I make this? How can I check these boxes and pull this lever and push this button to get God to like me again?" All we have to do, thank God for 1 John 1:9, when we do things that he's not pleased with us about, we can confess our sin, because he is what? And what did we read earlier? Great is his faithfulness in Lamentations. Great is his faithfulness to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what does it mean to have new mercies? It means to have a fresh start, a new clean sheet of paper today to start over again. And so in light of double jubilee and jubilee, what happened in jubilee? The word jubilee itself means ram's horn. And so when the 50th year started, what they would do is get a ram's horn and they would sound the ram's horn. I don't know, whatever they did. Hallelujah. And so what that signified to them was liberty has been proclaimed. So this is Jubilee. And we're in the year of double Jubilee according to the Lord. So liberty was proclaimed. If you lost possessions, your possessions came home. Miss Mary was talking about her diamond and her phone. Those were her possessions in the year of double jubilee. Hallelujah. Debt was forgiven and canceled. So if you did do something that cause your checkbook to go to zero or minus zero. Debts are canceled. Debts are forgiven. Hallelujah. And another thing that happened was land was returned to its rightful owners. Another thing that happened to them, the land and the people rested in the year of Jubilee. I don't know how much resting we've been doing around here, having all the services we've had here lately. But there was rest that was brought to them in the year of Jubilee. And so in that prophecy, one of the things the Lord said was, "For this is a day of much rejoicing. This is a day of harvest. This is a day of shalom, Shabbat, peaceful rest. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shabbat, shalom. It's a good day. It's a restful day. It's a day of the Sabbath. It's a day of double jubilee. It's a day of double jubilee. It's an hour that we've entered into. As Israel, as Jerusalem itself, will celebrate a jubilee, so you must celebrate a jubilee. And that which is natural shall be in the realm of the Spirit. So I boldly proclaim it shall be double jubilee." So in the year of Jubilee, liberty was proclaimed. So that means double liberty, whatever that looks like. Possessions being returned, double the possessions being returned. Debt being forgiven. You know, maybe the first part of the year you were forgiven debt and then you ran it up again. Double jubilee. Cancel. Land, double land. That's again given. So it is marked, double jubilee or the year of jubilee is marked by a clean slate. Amen. A fresh start. Family members coming home, because what would happen if they couldn't pay their bills, they would sell their, give their child, and they would go to prison or to pay off the debt. So if your child has been away from home, guess what? In the year of Jubilee, they get to come home. All these are earmarked by Jubilee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "Behold, I make all things new." He's making all things new for us in this year. Glory to God. You know, we talk about Brother Hagin a lot around here, and I remember hearing him say that he said, you know, he went home to be with the Lord when he was 86 years old. And, you know, not long before that, he said, "I wish I could have done more for the Lord. I've done so little for him." And, you know, this man was in ministry for 60-something years. And he wished he could have done more for the Lord. But you know what it did? It gives me hope. If he was that age and he was that far along and he thinks he didn't do enough for the Lord, there's hope for me. There's hope for all of us. Amen. And so there's things that God wants to do with us. You know, having that clean slate, we and what he's saying, when the mercies are new tomorrow morning, what he's saying is whatever you did today, tomorrow morning, you got a clean slate. All of that is left behind. You've got a new day today to start over again. Amen? And that we don't have to be consumed with our past. We don't have to be consumed with our failures, our shortcomings. We don't have to be consumed with that. And if we're not consumed with that, we can give our gaze. We can give our attention. We can give our hearts to Him who's the rescuer of our soul. Amen. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. You know, with Moses, I was thinking about this afternoon, and I've heard Pastor Rhonda teach on this. You know, Moses was on the backside of a desert running, and one day he looked up and saw a bush up on a mountain, and it was not being consumed. And it says in that passage that he turned his attention to that burning bush. He gave his attention to, what if he just kind of gazed up there and went, that's strange. But it said, and God didn't talk to him until he gave his attention to that. So whatever's consuming us, it's absorbing our time, so we can't give our attention to him. And how do you know, and you know that when he did give his attention to him, that instruction came out of that giving attention to. Go free my people. And interesting enough, talking about forgetting, Moses killed somebody. In that passage where God's talking to him up on that mountain, around that bush, not once did he bring it up. Not once. God had forgot about it. Moses started talking about, I can't talk, and they're not going to listen to me. But God never once brought up his past. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:19. This is one of my favorite passages. So if we're not giving our attention to our shortcomings and failures and weaknesses, we can put our gaze on him. And it says here, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Classic. It says, that you may really come to know, when we turn our attention to him, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. That's where his compassion comes in, when we read in that in the Lamentation, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence. Woo, that's a lot. That you may be full of the fullness, you may, unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. What's happening there when we're filled with and flooded with God himself? He's pushing out those bad things. He's pushing out those replays. He's pushing out our sins. He's pushing out our ways and filling us with his love, filling us with his compassion, filling us with all that he is. All the fullness of God, that's a lot. Wholly filled and flooded with God himself. I remember driving to Kentucky one time. I don't know if I slept the night before or not, but I've heard Norval Hayes say this, that God came and got in my car. I don't know if God has ever come and get in your car with you. But when he comes and get in your car with you, it's too little for the two of you. And so I just got so filled and so flooded with him, I stopped on the side of the road by a gas station, got out and ran around my car. And so when I got back in the car, I said, Lord, you're just going to have to turn it back because I can't function. I can't do what I need to do today if you just keep flooding yourself in on me. I can't get to my destination and get back because I'm going to have to get out and keep running around the car to get you off of me. So he filled me and flooded me with himself to overflowing, so much so I had to run. Hallelujah. And then after that, in verse 20, it says, and now unto him, who in the consequence of the action of his power that is at work in us. His power is at work in us. He's working in us. Is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Hallelujah. Glory to God, super abundantly far over and above all that we can ask or think, beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, dreams, hopes. To him be glory in the church throughout all generations. God's got some things for us, amen? And if we are caught under the tyranny of what the enemy is doing with us, and even with our own thoughts, just rehearsing, rehashing, and replaying things in our mind, we will not come into the fullness of what he has for us. We are not going to experience everything he has for us this year. I remember hearing this minister, he had gone back to his hotel after ministering one day, and so there was something that he said in the service that, you know, was just kind of messing with him. And so after he had said what he said, you know, there were people in the congregation that was laughing at him. And so when he got back to the room, you know, the enemy was just messing with his head. He's going, man, I shouldn't have said it that way. Those people laughed at me. You know, how horrible. And he's just kind of beating himself up. And so while he was there doing all that, he said that the Lord, a vision came before him, and it was a bust of himself from his shoulders up. And so And then he saw a hammer come down on the top of it and crack it. And so these cracks started happening in the plaster of this bust of him. And so the Lord said to him, he said, that's you. And he said, I know it. I know it. I don't do anything right. I don't say things right. I know it. Lord, I failed you. I failed you. And then he said, in that vision, all of a sudden, the blood of Jesus started flooding into those cracks of that bust. And the Lord said to him, he said, the blood of Jesus fills in where you are short. The blood of Jesus fills in where we don't do things just right. What the blood of Jesus fills in when we don't say things just right. When we don't act just right. How many of you know you're not perfect? Amen. Hallelujah. And the reason why we needed him anyway is because we were in need of a Savior. We needed him. Hallelujah. And when the accuser of the brethren comes to you and say, yep, you have failures, you fell short, you did all this, and you go, yep, and that's why I needed a Savior. That's why Jesus had to come. You're not saved. You can tell him of his future. You're not saved. You don't have the hope of what I have. Hallelujah. Remind him what his future like. When he starts bringing up your past and rehearsing the past, and you did this and you did that and all that. Yeah, let me tell you about your future. You're so rehearsed with my past. Let me tell you about your future. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. And the nations are going to look on you and say, is he the one? Is he the one that tormented? Is he the one? But you're going to be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus makes up the difference. The blood of Jesus fills in because his mercies are new every morning. So if we wake up tomorrow morning mindful of things, of how we missed it, how we could have done better, how we could have prayed more, how we could have read more, how we should have done better with our money, how we shouldn't have made that bad investment, how we should have not messed up our marriage, how our children are not doing their best, and I could have taught them different. When all those things start replaying, you say, I'm moving over into the mercies of God. I'm going to receive your mercies today. Father, I could have done better. You're right. Devil, I could have done better, but I'm going to move into the mercies of God today. His mercies are new every morning. He wipes clean my slate today, and we get to start all over again. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus fills in for where I fell short. There's a book I've been reading, two little books, actually. One of them is, both of them are by Brother Hagin. One of them is called Casting Your Cares on the Lord. And it's a great book, and I've been listening online to him as well. And he talks about in this little book that he was, as some of you may know his testimony, but he was raised up off of a deathbed. And at some point in his life, whenever he was not quite in obedience or different things were started happening, sickness would try to come back on him. And so he describes in this book an instance where he started having heart issues and described them as heart attacks. And so what he would do when those things try to come on him, because he had experienced death before. And so in order to hold on or stay in this world, what he would do was hold on to the headboard real tight whenever that those episodes were started happening. And so when he was reading in the Bible, he came up on Matthew 6, and and in there it talks about taking no thought for your life. Now, he's having heart issues in his body, and he's holding on to the headboard to try to keep from dying. And this says, take no thought for your life. And so what the Lord showed him was that he was worrying. And he worn the varnish off of the wood because he was holding on so tight. And so he tried to read on past, take no thought for your life. And as he would go on, he couldn't get anything out of the word. So he had to go back to that, take no thought for your life. And he said, okay, Father, I take no thought for my life. And finally, he just let go. He said, I'm just going to rest in you. Now, he's afraid of dying. He's died before, several times. And finally, he said, okay, I just rest in you, and I let go. And as he let go, he started getting better in his body. Worry. How do you know you're in worry? You keep thinking about it. You keep rehearsing it in your mind. Another little book that has helped me, I don't know if we have these in bookstore or not, I can't remember, Right and Wrong Thinking is another one. One of the things that Brother Hagin said, he said one of the best things, the number one thing a Christian that is beneficial to a Christian is renewing the mind. And what are we doing when we're talking about the mercies? We're renewing our mind that God is merciful toward us. God is bigger than our past. He fills in, the blood of Jesus fills in those places and makes up for those places where we fell short. Let's see. I'm going to run out of time here for just a minute. I'll just mention this. You're talking about giving your attention to something. Proverbs 4:20, and we are familiar with that. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he is telling us here, when those things start coming, we need to give attention to his word, and we need to be aware of what's going in our ear, what's happening with our eyes, and what's going in the midst of our heart, what the enemy is trying to do there, to put our attention on his words, to put our attention on the things that he wants us to. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so, it talks about how he throws our sin or casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. But we do this, like a fly fisherman. We cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and we still got that line. We've cast it in there, but we bring it back out. Then we cast it back in, and bring it back out. You ever seen those fly fishermen? You see how they do that with that line, and that line keeps coming out. We keep attached to those things that he tells us to cast away. Lord, I'm giving you this, but you're not moving fast enough, so we bring it back in. Lord, I cast my care over on you regarding my finances, but I needed it yesterday, so we bring Hallelujah. Cast all of our care on him, for he cares for us. And not only do we need to cast our care, but we need to cast the care of those who've wronged us and done against us. And not throw our stuff in the sea of forgiveness, but we remember theirs. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:28. I'm reading out of Amplified Classic. It says, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to what? Rest. Shabbat shalom. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls, your mind, your will, your emotion. He's saying that he's going to relieve them, which means to give peace and to refresh your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest. There's that word rest again. Relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your soul. Blessed quiet for your soul. Hallelujah. Remember that illustration where he told me, just be. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. Verse 30. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh. Aren't you glad about that? Not hard, not sharp or pressing, but comfortable. Gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. So God is not a hard taskmaster. He says he's light. His burden is light and easy. Light and easy. Hallelujah. It's not based on works, not based on all the things that we think we need to do and to win his love. And it's just light and easy. Hallelujah. As I was studying this and praying this afternoon, something that came up in my heart was regarding all this. And I'm not going to have you come up or anything like that, but we are going to do some, take care of some business, and then we're going to leave rejoicing, okay? When I was at Rhema, we had what we called exaltation. And so on Tuesday morning around 11 o'clock, somewhere in there, 10:30, 11, we would have 30 minutes of time where all the students came to the auditorium, and then we would have a short teaching, or we would worship together and all of that. And in one of those times, someone gave an altar call for people who were mad at God because there was something they were disappointed about, or something happened in their life, or some shortcoming, or some something. And so at first, you know, people wouldn't come because who wants to really acknowledge that you were mad at God? But he knows whether you are or not, you know. And so when I was praying this afternoon, that came up, that thought. And I hadn't thought about that in years. But there may be people in here who are mad at God because of something that happened in your life that you're rehearsing in your mind, or a disappointment, or something that may have happened, and, you know, some plan that may have not been fulfilled, or a desire that's not been fulfilled, and you may be mad at God about it. And so let's right now, let's everybody just kind of bow your head, close your eyes. And if that's you, if you're ready to acknowledge it, just go ahead and just release that to God. In this scripture we just read, he will bring relief to our souls. He will bring peace to us. And so, just in the quietness of your own heart, say, Lord, I was disappointed about whatever it is. And I admit right now that I was mad at you about it. And I know that the blame doesn't go to you, but either me or the person that I'm disappointed in, or the situation, or even the devil could have caused some things in there. So I ask you to forgive me for blaming you in it. And just release that. Just say, Father, forgive me. And what it does is put you in a position, maybe, for him to reveal to you the reason why it didn't happen. Or, in some instances, it may not be necessary for you to know at this time. But it causes you to go on with him to release that. There may be folks that are in this room. You haven't experienced your double jubilee or whatever you've been believing God for because you're mad at somebody else. That someone else didn't fulfill, or they didn't do their part in something. So go ahead right now and take care of that with him. Regarding that person, I release that person that I was looking to for such and such, or they didn't do whatever it is, and just release it. And then there may be folks in here that you're not mad at God about it. You're not mad at someone else, but you may be mad at yourself, upset with yourself. So, release yourself. It's done. It's in the past. You can't change it. There's nothing you can do about it. But there's a new, fresh start. Jubilee is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just forgive yourself. Self, I forgive you for doing this or not doing such. Hallelujah. And release yourself. That was one of the things that happened in Jubilee, was that they let the prisoners go. So stop holding yourself prisoner and let yourself go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just very quickly, there was a young lady. She had, was kind of beaten up on herself, and she had a vision. She saw these boxes out in front of her, and in these boxes, these transparent boxes, she saw in there everything she'd done wrong, everything she said wrong, all these things. And on the other side of those boxes was Jesus standing there. And Jesus looked at her, and he said, "Come to me." And she said, "Lord, I can't because of all these things." And he said, "Don't look at them, look at me." And so when those things try to show up again, don't look at them, look at him. When the devil tries to replay and bring it back, don't look at them, look at him. Hallelujah. And so in Micah 7:18, it says this: "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance?" Are you the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. Aren't you glad? And don't stay angry at yourself forever. But you delight in showing mercy. God delights in showing mercy. So let's stand up. And as we get ready to go here, guys, go ahead. There's this song that the Ramos guys played when they were here, and I wanted you to go away singing this as we leave here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Yes, any moment is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, showing mercy. Hallelujah. Victory is yours. It belongs to you. A clean slate today. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to you today. Victory belongs to you tonight. Hallelujah.
I got victory.
mercy. He delights in giving you victory. He delights in making things clean. He delights in giving you a fresh start. He delights in it. He delights in it. He wants you to have everything that He's promised you. He is your victory. He is your exceeding joy. He wants you to have double jubilee. He wants you to have everything He's promised you. So tomorrow morning, new mercies available. New mercies available. A new start begins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the morning, you're going to hear my voice. New mercies. Say, the Lord delights in mercy, in showing mercy. The Lord delights in showing mercy to me.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.